come with.
Everyone tonight.
We're
greeting the precious name of Jesus Christ. Just like the turn on Bibles. Ezekiel chapter 2. Revelation 10. Being from verse 1, Ezekiel chapter 2. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. Not son of God or son of David, son of man. And the Spirit entered into me when he spoke unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him who spoke unto me. And he said to me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that had rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. For they are imprudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat what I give
thee.
And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a scroll was in it. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written in it lamentations and mourning and woe.
And
moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat what thou findest, eat this scroll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and it caused me to eat that scroll. And he said unto me, Son of man, eat and fill thy stomach with the scroll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was my mouth like honey for sweetness. Let's jump down to verse 12. Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from this place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touch one another, and the noise of the wheels beside them, and a noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Revelation 10. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as though it were the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. And cried with a loud voice when the land roared, and when he cried, seven thunders after their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel whom I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and so by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, and the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things which are in it, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin the song, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice that I heard from heaven spoke unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me a little book, which is, and he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took a little scroll out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth with honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again among many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and we'll pray. Namaste. Heavenly Father, Lord, we look unto you, the author of this world, and the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, we bring ourselves in divine subjection to the Holy Spirit that is present amongst us. And we ask sincerely for the divine leadership of your Holy Spirit in the word tonight. Amen. The Lord God, by the preaching of your word, it will bring us a living faith in the hearts of the people. And the Spirit of the living God will quicken the word. And Lord, make it so real into the hearts of the people. Amen. It will have such a quickening influence upon them, Father. Yes, it will lift them up into that heavenly place where it will bring them under the effects of the vision, that they will not be disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Amen. But they will be strong in faith, Father. Amen. Pressing on to the promise of the living God for this hour. Bless each and everyone. Bless the strangers. Amen. These things might be mysterious to them, Lord. Yes. They may not understand these things because of the ecclesiastical veil that is upon their heart. Amen. But Lord Jesus, I pray you'd show forth yourself alive. Make yourself visible among the people tonight, that they will see and they will know that this is a mighty conqueror in plain view and conquered by traditions tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Bless us, Father, and get honor and glory in your service. We pray and we ask it in your precious name. Amen. God bless you. May have a seat. Praise his wonderful name.
Amen.
We just want to continue speaking tonight. And God's veiled and guarded mercy seat in his bride. And we're sticking for a subject. The heavenly order is still reflected on the earth. All through the Bible, it was God's will that what is in heaven be on the earth. Thou will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We find out as we read this morning, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, when man was cast out of the garden, God put guards to guard the way back to the tree of life. And we found in the Bible, it said there were cherubim. And cherubim is plural. Cherub is singular. And these cherubim guard every way. And there's only four ways. East, west, north, and south. And there was a flaming sword. Amen. The word of the living God. God in that way. And man cannot come back to take from the tree of life. And we find out that in the scriptures, Cain and Abel went to that eastern gate. And they brought they made the altars. And they came to worship God. And right to that altar was the presence of Almighty God. Because Cain, he couldn't catch the revelation. He worshipped just like Abel. But we find out in the Bible that a man can worship God and worship God in vain. Because Jesus said to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees in his day, he says, in vain do these worship me, preaching the doctrine, the commandments of men. Amen. And they've made the word of God of none effect upon the people. We ought to find out that Abel was a shepherd. And the mystery of redemption is always revealed in shepherd and sheep. Hallelujah! Because a shepherd knows how to take care of sheep. When Jesus was born and he was upon the face of the earth, the angel of the Lord didn't go to the theologians, didn't go to the politicians. He came to shepherds. While shepherds watch the flock by night, the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds. Unqualified speakers, stinking herdsmen, wrapped in sheepskin, watching the flock. And they get an angelic visitation, a bright shining light overshadow them. And the voice spoke, go into Bethlehem, and there you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Because unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. The mystery of the Lamb of God, the Messiah, born in the earth, was laying there wrapped in swaddling clothes. And Bethlehem means the house of God bread. Hallelujah. And the bread of life had to come to the house of God bread. And when he was born, he took swaddling clothes. And swaddling clothes was a piece of cloth that they wrap around the yoke of the oxen. Amen. Old sweaty, dirty piece of cloth. And lay there, and they were so poor, they couldn't buy new booties. They couldn't buy no special diapers. So they had to take the cloth of the ox yoke and wrap the word in it. And they laid in a manger. Hallelujah! In simplicity. And when the angel spoke to the shepherds going to Bethlehem, you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. This shall be a sign to you. Then shepherds could understand the terminology of swaddling clothes. A theologian would never be able to grasp it. He wouldn't even want to go in a stinking stable. Amen. But in the air was laying the mystery of God. Hallelujah. Wrapped in swaddling clothes in simplicity. And those shepherds, when they went in the air, they found the word that all the Old Testament prophets had spoken of lay in the air. They looked upon it and they saw God in simplicity, now revealed in humility. Hallelujah! And they went out with great joy with a message that the Messiah is on the earth. And the shepherds found the Messiah exactly where the angel said he would be laid. Hallelujah! Now today, the Messiah is on the earth. That was the shepherd's message. Not Messiah is coming. Messiah is on the earth now. Hallelujah. No wonder theologians know nothing about it. But shepherds had a revelation that Messiah was laid here. And the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord. The seventh seal brings him back to earth. It was not the angel message to say Messiah is on the earth. Though the angel knew where he was laid, though the angel knew he was on the earth, but the angel gave a mystery to the shepherds, and the shepherds will send the message out. Hallelujah! Amen! And the shepherd is preaching, Messiah is on the earth right now. So then those shepherds had to catch a revelation of the seventh seal, because the seventh seal brings him back to earth. No wonder today theologians in the message say the seventh seal is still sealed up, is not open. It just proves the angel never visit them. It just proves the angel have no message for them. But there are some shepherds, hallelujah, unqualified speakers, smelling like the sheep, laughing like the sheep, talking like the sheep. They call their sheep by the name. They know about taking care of sheep. Hallelujah. Amen. Hastening with the greatest message ever. What is it? Messiah is on the earth. Amen. And that's why all of the Bible, those shepherds was dressed in sheepskin. Because in sheepskin, it signified the faith in the coming Lamb. The coming Messiah, who would be the Lamb of God. Hallelujah! Glory! Those shepherds, those prophets, come to the Old Testament. They was part of the word. So they had on sheepskin, showing that the message was about coming Lamb. Hallelujah! They had a staff. They knew to take care of sheep. David was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. Abraham was a shepherd. They were all shepherds. Hallelujah. Glory. Because there was going to be a great shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is a great shepherd. He leads the 99. He leads the 99.
99 sheep. Oh, amen.
Amen. So go and look for the last one. He said, I call my sheep by the name. My sheep hear my voice. And a stranger they will not follow. Hallelujah. They've been trained to the voice of the shepherd. And God, people in the Bible, is lightning on the sheep. Amen. And he's a great shepherd. And he lead them out to find pasture. In St. John 10, he speaks of himself as a great shepherd. So we realize every shepherd in the Bible was revealing part of the mystery of the great shepherd. Hallelujah! All them shepherds became one shepherd. The great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. All them sheep became one sheep, the great Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And here he stood, as you read the Bible, with spiritual eyes. Now that the book is open, now that the seals have been taken off, we can look in the book and read with understanding. Because all those years before, the book was sealed up. It was closed. They couldn't understand the mystery of God. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he began to sing, the mystery of God would be finished. The seals would be taken off the book, and we'd be able to look in the book and see God's plan of redemption. And the plan of redemption is always revealed through shepherd and sheep. And it started off in Genesis. God, when man fell, slay a lamb, cover them with blood. Hallelujah, to stay his wrath. Then he take the skin of the sheep and he clothed them in coats of skin, sheepskin. Then Abel, by nature, he looked at all the animals. He didn't want to mind tigers. He didn't want to mind tigers. Amen. He didn't want to take care of maybe wolves. He wasn't interested in training dogs. Out of all the animals on the earth, something in Abel by nature attracted to be sheep, to be a shepherd, to take care of those sheep. Something in his heart, he looked at the animals and he saw the lion could take care of himself. He saw the wolf could take care of himself. He saw the different animals. They had something to defend themselves. Amen. But the sheep was defenseless. It was helpless. It needed someone to care for it. And Abel, by compassion, was drawn towards the sheep. In his heart, he felt a longing to take care of them, to make sure they were fed, to go and look for them when they were lost. Amen. Finally, he decided, maybe there's a calling to be a shepherd. He was contented. He was happy caring for the sheep. Hallelujah! And right in that environment of the sheep, he was understanding things about himself. He began to realize that he was a sheep. Because God had always likened man to sheep. And God was the lead man. The Holy Spirit was always the man leader. Amen. And God, in his Bible of nature, he represented man and the sheep. So man could look at the sheep and understand himself, how he likes to stray sometimes and go his own way. And the shepherd would have to break the sheep foot. He don't hate the sheep, but he had to break that sheep foot so it wouldn't stray. Hallelujah. Then that shepherd had to have a staff to protect the sheep and also to deliver them, to pull them over the ditches and to beat off the wolves that want to come and devour them. Hallelujah. That shepherd had to have some smooth stones, because he cannot be everywhere at every time. So sometimes the sheep, they could go out and maybe eat some local weed. Now though they are sheep, they cannot detect everything. That's why they need an overseer to see over them. That's why they need a shepherd to watch over them. Hallelujah. And if you are sheep, you will understand the mystery that God make you up for somebody to watch over you. Hallelujah. So here we see in the scripture that the sheep, like David, had smooth stones and a sling. Now what is that for? Sometimes that sheep may go and drink poison water. He can't detect poison water. He may go and eat local weed. He can't detect local weed. But in him is a nature. If a lion or a wolf or some animal is creeping up to attack him, that little sheep is all nervous, because you have a sense to sense something is wrong. Amen. But though you have something to sense danger, yet he cannot detect
poison water. Yet he cannot detect local weed. So the shepherd is trained with that sling. And as he goes to eat any local weed, the shepherd slings a stone to scare him, to make him run back from that local weed. Amen. Then the shepherd, you know, many a time sheep eat all kind of things. Somebody comes with some false interpretation, pick up some wrong spirit, and they get sick. So the shepherd have some honey to turn the limestone in the rock. In that rock, there is limestone. It's good to heal the sheep. It very has a medicinal net here. And the sheep lick upon it, it will heal him. But he don't like the taste so much. So the shepherd pour honey on the rock. Now the sheep love honey. So being they lick the honey, he's licking on the limestone and being healed. That's why the song says, the song, even the scripture, there's honey in the rock. My brother, there's honey in the rock for you. Amen. Because the shepherd pours the honey on the rock. So look at the shepherd. He's not clothed. He is not clothed in ecclesiastical robes of theology of the message. The real shepherd in the message is clothed with sheepskin. Hallelujah! With sheepskin, the lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. They have the staff of the seventh seal. They have five smooth stones. Resurrection, creation, salvation, power over the elements, and healing. They have a bag of honey, a revelation of bodily kindness. They have a slingshot of prayer and faith. Hallelujah! That's how you know a real shepherd. And then they're preaching, Messiah is on the earth now. Then they're calling the sheep by the name, preaching the mystery of Revelation 10 to 11. Real shepherd. Hallelujah. Standing with the greatest message ever, signifying the faith in the coming of the Lord. Amen. And here was Abel. He was one of them. And something struck his heart. He saw Adam and Eve in sheepskin. When that lamb would stray, Abel saw himself. That he many times, his thoughts would drift away from God. He would stray away and do something in the flesh. When that sheep would get lost and be helpless and full of fear, Abel saw himself. He realized he wasn't supposed to be that way. He realized he wasn't supposed to be that way. Amen. So through the experience of watching the sheep, through his observations in his environment, which was predestinated, God put him in that environment to reveal himself unto him. And Abel was understanding his weaknesses, his dependence upon God. Amen. And he began to see he was not supposed to be that way. So he looked at Adam and Eve, and one day something struck his heart. He saw them in sheepskin. It never dawned him before that they were wearing sheepskin, that a lamb had to die for them to get that sheepskin. Then it began to unfold that they're outside the garden, because he saw those cherubim guarding the way with a flaming sword. Why they couldn't go back in there? Why they were shut out from that place? Why they was out here wearing sheepskin? Why a lamb was slain? It all began to add together. Why he saw weaknesses in his own life that was represented in the sheep? And revelation struck his heart. And by faith, by revelation, Abel was moved under inspiration to kill a lamb. And he slay a lamb and brought the blood, dripping with blood, a bloody lamb, bleeding out, pouring out his life, giving up the life, just like the Lamb of God on Calvary, bleeding, giving up the ghost. It is finished. Speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Eli, Eli, Lama Sabatina. And Abelam. Dying and bleeding in tongues. Hallelujah. And Jehovah, who had a mystery in the back part of his mind, that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, and the names of the bride who was chosen in Christ was written in blood. Hallelujah. It was God's mystery, because the word of God is forever settled in heaven. God never had one and never had his knowledge. His work was forever settled. It was already finished before the foundation of the world. And here it was, Abel as a prophet, an eagle, was catching the mystery of the Lamb and bringing it forth in a representation. And here was God showing forth those things in Abel's life. Amen. What a great mystery it was. And in the message of the throne, Revelation Jesus Christ series, from page 96 to page
98.
Brother Bram is saying, speaking about the cherubims, those God in the way. He says, see four beasts. There's only four ways you can go. East, west, north, and south. These cherubims had a flaming sword at the gate of Eden to keep the way of the tree of life. Because if man ever got a hold of the tree of life, then he could live forever. And these cherubims, first mentioned, was placed at the east gate of the garden, going four ways. I should have made that a little different. He was explaining something. He was drawing on a board for them. Amen. So he said the cherubims was placed there to guard what? The tree of life. That's what there was to guard. The way of the tree of life. The way. Who is the way? Jesus. Where is it reflected from? Here is the holy place. Here are the cherubims. Now notice something. Moses, when he was on the earth, he was a prophet. He came with a pillar of fire. He came with two signs. He came with a message of deliverance. He came with a revelation of the Lamb to be slain, and the people covered under the blood. Just like this day, it was a type. Amen. The first Exodus and the second Exodus was a type of the third Exodus, and we are in the third Exodus. Amen. And notice this: when Moses came and called the people out of Egypt, out of denominationalism, now God was going to use Israel. There was his people, and he was going to reveal himself and his purposes among them. So he didn't want them to take a pattern from Egypt or Greece or Rome or the Chaldeans, Babylon. He wanted to reveal his heavenly order, because to these people the divine purpose of God was going to be represented. There was a chosen people, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. There was called of darkness to walk in this marvelous light. There was to show forth his praises. So before Israel could go and set up the government, set up the laws, and maybe have a type of a system, democracy, or socialist, or communist, watching the other nations, God began to reveal to them the way they were to set up. So they had a prophet, and the word of God would come to the prophet. Just like when God called the church, the bride, out of denomination. When he called out in the third Exodus, he didn't want us to come now and make a next denomination. Follow the other nations. Denomination. Amen. So by a prophet, God was revealing his mystery, his purpose, what the real bride who was to reflect. And that prophet was getting visions, set the bride in order. Because God, by and through the members of the bride, was going to manifest His word for this age. All God's great mystery that slowly unfolded in shadows and types, done through the Bible, in the lives of believers, was now going to be gathered up in the last days in a people who would show forth the fullness of God's purpose, the full expression of all that God is. In them will reveal God's kingdom, God's purpose, God's works, God's glory. All that God is will be manifested in this people, in this day. Amen. So here it was, that prophet was taken up in the mountain. And he went into the pillar of fire. And Moses began to get a revelation before the people could use their own ideas, get the influence of other nations. That prophet was getting the word to instruct the people. And Moses began to tell them how they were now to worship God. How they had to approach Him. Amen. And we find out that what happened, that God was revealing to them how to build a tabernacle. How to put a laver with water. How to have a second court where the people must remain. How to have the high priest go in the veil once a year. Amen. And then how he revealed to them also how the tribes must camp. They couldn't camp where they want. It wasn't who reached first in a certain place. No, everything was to reveal God's purpose. So he had them to set in order. And God went into the minutest detail. God was so specific. Even in the book of Revelation, we see in the Bible describing the heavenly order, both the throne and the elders and the one in the throne and the rainbow and the sea of glass and the seven lamps. And God will use all chapters just in description of what is in heaven. And it make you wonder, why would God go into all that detail? Why would it be so specific? In the book of Exodus, you will get chapter after chapter telling you how much cubits a certain thing must be, what type of wood it must be used, what color curtains, what was it made out of. And sometimes you bypass those things. And it don't seem to interest you. But when you look closer, we realize God is very specific. To worship God, you just can't come and do anything. You just can't come anyway. Because you have vain worship. It has vain worship. And God don't accept vain worship. You must come the revealed way. You must come reflecting God's order. Reflecting God's thoughts. Hallelujah! According to God's pattern. The priest will drop down dead. If you go in there, go in the right tribe. Though he is chosen to be a priest. Though he's anointed. Though he's going there, the wrong time of the year. Though he's going there, without blood, he will die. Because God wasn't just interested in somebody being sincere. God had a revelation. God had a purpose to reveal, to make Himself known, to express Himself. Hallelujah. And He gave it out in a specific pattern so He could be made known, so His glory could be manifested, so we could correctly and properly and scripturally relate to the purpose of God. Amen. Amen. So in the book of Revelation, also the book of Exodus, we know specific God was
giving every detail. Amen. About the heavenly order and the heavenly things. Why? Because that is what must be represented on the earth. That's why denomination is of the devil. That's why God will bother with it. That's why in vain do these worship God. Because why? It don't reflect the heavenly pattern. And once a man, inspiration, revelation, message, works, purpose, achievement don't reflect the heavenly pattern, it dead works. His inspiration never came from God. Where did this message come from? Heaven. That is why they can't Americanize the message. They can't say that the prophet came from America. The message came from heaven.
Yes, sir.
See, no man can take the message and try to make it their message or tie to a nation or tie to a city. The message is a revelation of God, Jesus Christ, being revealed. The God of glory came down on the earth to manifest the glory of God.
Amen.
So you find out that all the description of the heavenly order and the heavenly things was so essential because it was to be represented on the earth. So what you bind on earth can be bound in heaven. What you lose on earth can be loose in heaven. As the prophet says, Jesus moves this way in heaven, his body in the earth moves that way. He moves this way, his body in the earth moves this way. Amen. What is the super sign? God and man, heaven and earth, being united together. That was God's real purpose, real expression of what the church must be. Amen. And the bride on the earth, who is to carry out the work of God, must carry it out according to the divine pattern. Because even Moses went up in the mountain and received the pattern of the heavenly thing, which was to be represented on the earth in a shadow. Moses was only making a shadow under the law, because in the age when the reality was manifested, when the real church, the Alpha Bride, was to go forth, we would see the mystery of what the tabernacle was. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Amen.
So here we see Moses in a shadow was represented in the earth, the heavenly things. And everything was to be built to every detail. And God is very specific. They had to come to the laver and wash the sacrifice. Because they had to come to the Red Sea. Now that was the only route to the promised land. You take a map and see. God gonna pass anyway. But God passed them through the Red Sea because he was making a type, showing you must come to water. You must be baptized. He bring them to the wilderness, showing them must be purged. He bring them across the Jordan, showing you must die to yourself. When he made the tabernacle, he never changed his revelation. Is that correct? He brought them to the laver. Then he brought them afterwards in the second court. Then they come to the veil, into the most holy place. Amen. Then we find in the ministry of the prophet with the three poles, where he's going to come back into Ephesians, a huge portion of heaven. He was two-thirds of the journey, because he had to come through water, had to come to the wilderness. He was down in the Jordan. Then he had to cross over into the Ephesians, into a third pole ministry, a ministry of the spoken word. It must be that way.
Yes, sir.
is a way that God is revealing for us to worship God, for us to come and be in harmony with Him. Because if the husband and wife is not in harmony, the prayers will not be answered. And Christ is the husband, and the bride, the Lamb's wife, must be in harmony. Both half of the Chinese ticket must dovetail together so you can get the promises. We can see the manifestation of the word of God. Amen. And that is why we are here tonight, understanding these things by the Holy Spirit. Because the hour is here when the bride must finish the work. She's going to have a ministry of power. They'll write in the book of Acts. Acts 29 must be written. Because Christ in the true church is the continuation of the book of Acts. And the book of Acts have 28 chapters. And the Acts of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost became bound by denominational rivers, but the evening message was to loose the Holy Ghost so he could continue writing another book of Acts. Amen. God having preeminences in His people. Let us see God in His people. Amen. So Moses, John, and even Paul, they all saw the same vision of the heavenly order that was to be represented on the earth. Paul taught the book of Hebrews, and he began to take what Moses represented on the earth. Amen. And begin to reveal it and tie it into the life of Christ. Could you imagine that? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they tell the events. They wrote like newspaper reporters. Amen. Jesus raised Lazarus. Jesus break the bread. Jesus tell Peter when to throw his net. Jesus discerned Matthew. Jesus discerned Peter. But when Paul came, he began to reveal the mystery of Christ. He was the tabernacle that the Lord pitched. And that man, he came out of Judah, where he never spoke of a priesthood. He came after the order of Melchizedek. Hallelujah. He was the woman's seed. He was the Passover lamb. He was the 11th bread. He was the first fruit. Paul began to reveal that in Christ's life, these mysteries were being made manifest. Today, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's in the message. They tell all the events, all the stories, but God Paul's. Hallelujah! Who understand the mystery behind the life that was revealed through the ministry of the Son of Man. Amen. How all scripture was gathered up and been revealed and manifested in that ministry. What the king saw really meant. What the third pole really meant. What the rising of the sun really meant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They understand these things. Amen. So here, Moses saw it in heaven. Then Paul was taken up into the third heaven. And when Paul went up into the third heaven, he saw the cherubim. He saw one who on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The only true potentate. Dwelling in light and immortality that no man could approach. Hallelujah!
Amen. Yes, sir.
Paul saw that one up in heaven, standing there, who with the brightness of his coming will destroy the man of sin with the breath of his lips. Hallelujah. And Paul began to understand what are the Old Testament types. Why the Old Testament order? No, listen to this. The same way the Old Testament order was set up. The tabernacle is the same way our services.
Amen.
It's not different. It has to be the same.
Amen.
God will change. God adds more to His word. He gives a further revelation. He magnifies those things. He brings from shadow to substance. Because the shadow is only pointing of a reality.
Yes, sir.
Because it was Jesus in heaven
whom
Moses was seeing as the tabernacle, and his body is the bride. Amen. So it was a revelation of the bride they was getting. Didn't understand it that way. And they're building these things to worship God. And they had each tribe had a standard. Judah with the lion. Ephraim with the ox. Reuben with the man. And Dan with the eagle. Now, why did they have to do that? Because that was in heaven. So when Paul went up there and saw it, then when John was being shown those visions and the book of Revelation was being written, then God went back into specific detail of those things again. Because here we are in the presence of God. We don't see with our physical eyes, but we have to understand by revelation. Because by faith, Abel brought a lamb. By faith, he offered it. He slayed. He applied the blood. By faith, he did those things.
Amen.
And notice that mercy seat had to be sprinkled with blood. And the priest would turn to the east. And he would not put 5 drops, he would not put 7 to 8 drops. He would put 7 drops. Speaking of 7 churches, that was to be covered by blood. Amen. And then there was a time when the sanctuary had to be cleansed. Amen. And then it became all smoky. It became a judgment seat. And the only way that rock would be stayed. The only way the wrath of God would be stayed, they had to sprinkle blood. Now what's something? That 7 drops of blood was the blood of the lamb. And those 7 drops of blood that sprinkled 7 ages, and the members of the bride in the Lamb's Book of Life, a portion of those names, there were 7 portions, and each age had a portion of the names, and each age produced part of the mystery, and the body of Christ was being formed from the feet right up to the head, down through 7 ages. Amen. And here we see that mercy seat had to be behind skin, and it was sprinkled with blood. Now as we see these things, we understand that back in the beginning, in Eden, when man fell, God's mystery that was forever settled in heaven began to unfold. And those cherubim, which was the guard of the mercy seat, because whenever they were seen, it was always connected to the throne. It was always connected to the mercy seat. That was the position. Wherever the mercy seat was, the cherubim was. Hallelujah! So if the cherubim was found in the Bible, in the beginning of Genesis, when man fell, when redemption was being revealed, when the lamb was slain, when the blood was being applied, the cherubim was there. Hallelujah. And then we find in the middle of the Bible, in the book of Ezekiel, when he had that vision, that pillar of fire, that amber light, came in the form of a whirlwind, a cloud. Amen. 4 living creatures
came out of that cloud, came out of that rainbow, came out of that pillar of fire, because it was revealing Jesus Christ. Because in heaven, he's the one on the throne, cherubim, is all around him. And here we see these things taking place. So while those things happen, here it was represented on the earth. And what took place? Those guards were doing a flaming sword. Nothing could approach it. Amen. They could only come in, they must only come in blood. Amen. To get back to Eden. They had to come through them cherubims. They had to come back past that altar. Because there was God in the way. Back to the tree of life. Now Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, to the overcomers, it says you will eat of the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God. The bride is going to come back to that tree of life. But if we have to come back, we can only come back to them cherubims, to that mercy seat, where the blood is, where the message of the hour, the blood of Jesus Christ is sprinkled, and that message is protected by them four anointings. Hallelujah! And down through seven church ages, where the seven drops of blood were sprinkled, there was four anointings, a lion, an ox, a man and an eagle, where the seven voices of the seven messengers in the seven church ages were thundering, and we were coming back by those seven messages, the seven seals of redemption, bringing us back to the tree of life, bringing us back to the paradise of God. Can't come no other way. We must come that way. So what a joy. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. To look and see that the way we have come is not by denomination. It's not by denomination. It's not by politics. We try to come that way. We end up in Rome. We end up lost. But they come back to Eden. And late in the evening time, we feel that strange call to go back to Eden. We see the morning star saying shalom, the breaking of a new day, the ushering in of the millennium, to come back to Eden, back to the tree of life. Then we have to come back through those seven messages, them seven drops of blood, them four anointings. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. I thank God tonight. We know where we are standing. We know what we're talking about. We're not just walking by sight, but we're walking by faith, by revelation that we are in the will of God. We are reflecting God's order, God's purpose. Every move is the scriptures. Hallelujah! Every action is tied to the word. Everything is revealing Jesus Christ. He's the principal theme of our lives. He's the center of our lives. He's the principal theme of the entire Bible.
Yes, sir.
We don't do our own thing. We obey his word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So back then, in the beginning, in Genesis, watch it very carefully. Because our subject is the heavenly order. Is still reflected on the earth. God didn't have it in Genesis. Didn't have it in the book of Numbers. Didn't have it in Ezekiel. Didn't have it down in the Gospel. Didn't have it in Revelation. Didn't have it down to seven church ages. And then abandoned it. No, sir! It's still here! Any man trying to preach outside that anointing of them cherubims is bringing theology. Hallelujah! Glory! Amen!
Yes, sir.
There were seven seals, seven men, seven messages, sevenfold plan of redemption, four cherubim, anointing those seven men to bring forth seven mysteries to lay out God order upon the face of the earth. That this bride
could stand here representing what is in heaven, a super church. What you buy in earth is bung in heaven. What you lose on earth is loose in heaven. God is represented on the earth. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So the prophet says, the cherubim displayed the God what? The tree of life. That's what there was to God. The way of the tree of life. Jesus is the way. Amen. And then he began to speak and show us when they built the tabernacle. They had the mercy seat, sprinkled blood in the most holy place. And they had to build cherubims with a wing tip over the mercy seat. And the Shekinah glory would dwell between the cherubims.
Amen.
So when we find the mercy seat, we'll find the cherubim. When we find the cherubim, we'll find the Shekinah glory. You say the mercy seat is in you, then the cherubim have to be there. Them anointings have to be there. What was them anointings for? To anoint those men. To anoint the bride to face the challenge of the hour. Hallelujah! To combat the devil in every age. He anointed them to go and challenge the devil.
Yes, sir.
Glory.
Amen.
Then if the cherubim is there and the mercy seat is there, then the Shekinah glory, the presence, the anointing, the logos. Hallelujah! An atmosphere of love and power is there around that believer. They're in a world of perfect faith, in heavenly places, knowing the position in his word, where they are placed with all authority over every devil.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
So you see how far this is from coming to church?
From
saying I'm the message.
From
saying I believe the prophet. We have to go further than that. Amen. We have to come to the place where we are the living word made manifest in this hour. Amen. So the same way, back in Eden, God, the most holy place, was at the eastern gate. You get it?
Amen.
Where the altar was, and the cherubim with a flaming sword was guarding the way to the tree of life. Amen.
Amen.
So in the tabernacle, it was being represented also. And then he says, here's the holiest, the holy of holies, and here's the sea. Amen.
And
the Bible is called the sea of glass. In the book of Revelation, when
Moses
built it, he called it the sea of brass. And when the bride was taken off the earth in the rapture, it was mingled with fire because the blood was removed. Hallelujah! While the bride was there, it was mingled with fire. But when the bride was taken up, Revelation 15, watch and see, it was mingled with fire.
Amen.
Amen. So here's the sea. Here's the light, the candles that reflect light from here. In here. In here. What do they reflect? They are guarding and reflecting with the fire of God the way to the tree of life. It's got to come from here, reflecting the light. If we stand and preach, we'll be all confused, all mixed up, bringing forth some theological idea. If our light is not coming from the Shekinah glory.
Amen.
It must be reflecting those seven mysteries. And those seven mysteries was in that lamb who had seven horns and seven eyes. Because the complete plan of redemption was not in Moses or Elijah or any of the prophets. They revealed party. But the complete plan lay in Jesus. Hallelujah! Then that lamb is being formed in the minister. Hallelujah.
Amen. And when Christ is forming you, the Lamb with 7 horns and 7 eyes, then you can stand and preach those 7 mysteries, bringing that light into the church. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why we must have the life to preach the word. There's no way to preach the word without the life. And there's no way for you to live the word without the life of the word in you. Can't learn it and try to behave a certain way. Must be eternal life, expressing itself, having preeminences in you. It will match the word every time. So notice the cherubims that John saw, they must be interested in keeping the tree alive. So they must be interested in human beings. Now there's a way to the tree alive. You get it? He said, I want to make sure you see this. It's an altar. Now this must have been, there must have been an altar at Eden. I'll tell you why. Do you remember both Cain and Abel? They came to worship. So that showed that God's altar was moved and set here at the Garden of Eden. And the only way back to Eden is by the altar. The only way back to Eden is by the altar. And that altar had a lamb that reflected a lamb with 7 horns and 7 eyes on God's altar. And Abel, a prophet, had to get the mystery of what was in heaven. Took his heart by revelation. And he brought forth a natural lamb that testified of God's lamb that was slain in the mind of God. And he brought it before God. And the pillar of fire dropped down and vindicated it. Brought and one in Abel's heart. But the one in Abel brought was only a reflection of the revelation that he possessed. And the revelation, his inspiration, he was catching the thoughts of God. Hallelujah!
Yes, sir.
So all preaching and teaching must be by inspiration. Amen. We stand here bringing forth the mystery of God, light for the church to walk in. The entrance of that word give life. Some man can preach a Trinity doctrine, deny serpent seed, some false baptism. He gets his light in some seminary. It didn't come on the throne. Hallelujah!
Yes, sir.
So that man must be a reflector. Reflecting light. God's word. Forever settled. You can't add one word or take away one word. But we have removed in the position the diamond of the cup just right to show them 7 rainbows. Amen. So it showed God had an altar at Eden. And the only way back to Eden is by the altar. The only and they were to keep that way. Got it. They couldn't get back there until this altar was covered with blood. Now, do you realize the revelation of Calvary, the Lamb being slain, the church ages being sprinkled by blood, as those 7 messengers came in 7 ages, preaching 7 mysteries, and all gathered up into 1 mystery in the bright age and being revealed in its fullness with the manifestation in the bride, showing what was in 7 parts is now become a whole. Here she stands, ready to go back to Eden. Hallelujah. You say, oh God, can't people see that? Nothing but the blood. If the There has to be an atonement, a mercy seat there. This altar of judgment must become a mercy seat. And when this blood is lifted, there will stand on that judgment day the fire of God's wrath to guard that tree again. Only one thing will enter into the gate to Eden again will be through the blood of Jesus Christ. And here's the bride in this hour, proud to display the blood, the mess of the hour, marching onward, Christian soldiers, marching back to Zion, going back to Eden, the kingdom restored. Hallelujah! And those four anointings, those cherubim that guarded the way to the tree of life, they no longer guarded it, but they're pushing us back in. Hallelujah! Pushing us back in, hunting us out, and pushing us back in, keeping us in the way. Stay alive! Stay alive! You're going back to Eden! Lift your hand and praise God! Worship Him! As you come right back in, back to Eden. You see, now both boys came up to this gate to worship. Is that right? So it must have been God's altar. And before this altar, they built substitutionary another altar. Here's the true altar of God. Is in the heart of man. Then there's another altar down here, which is representing the Holy of Holies. So there's three altars. One where God built, where the cherubims was around. One where Abel brought and put his lamb upon. And one in Abel's heart. Hallelujah! We thrones. So here it is, coming from negative to positive. And the last days, when the real bride stands on the earth, the living tabernacle of the living God. Hallelujah! And our heart sprinkled with those seven messages. She holds that mystery of the sevenfold plan of redemption. And out of her mouth come forth seven thunders proceeding out of the throne. Hallelujah! Revealing redemption to bring every son and daughter of God back to Eden, and the presence of God, the pillar of fire upon that bride and them cherubims guarding that word. Amen. That bride carries out the commission, finishes up the work in the last days. As she stands there, everyone in the place. Amen. God's only provided place of worship. The only place where God is meeting with the believer. Amen.
Yes, sir.
So Cain and Abel, they come up to worship. So it must have been at the altar that they guard the cherubims. Amen. And he said, watch the Bible now. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. I want to strike this here. From the gate at the garden. Now we have come right back to that gate.
Amen.
Doing God a service. The prophet says, he has brought you out. I revealed you how to do God a true service. I showed you 5 months. He revealed influence. Show us how we become a prepared servant. He revealed the masterpiece. Show us what the ministry of the masterpiece will be. All these things. He said, very soon now, the gate will open into the millennium. Don't tamper with the message. Don't tamper with the message. Don't tamper with the message. He said, I call heaven and earth as a witness against you. If you tamper with the message, God will destroy you. And many are perish. Because they never understood. It was a curse put in the message. Any man tried to misplace, mislocate, and misinterpret to handle the ark.
Amen.
to handle the ark if they wasn't called to do it. They touched it with the denominational hands to put the word in the wrong channel, in some chaos. Different than how the prophet said. Death was going to strike. And we see dead churches, dead church members, dead ministers. Why? Stagnated, confused, going around in circles. Dead church, no revival, no inspiration. Death has struck. Only theology. Dry and dead. Amen. And right at the gate was where the presence was where the cherubims was where the altar was where the blood was. Amen. And so the presence of the Lord must have been at the altar, and the altar was at the gate. So glory, it's God's dwelling place at his altar. And then where Moses was being taken up also, he saw the same thing, and he represented on the earth. And they called out people in the Exodus under the prophet message, had to come in the same order. And then down to the Bible, in the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Amen. The lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. Showing Jesus. Amen. Going forth with the anointing of the lion. In boldness. Boldness against the Pharisees. Boldness against the Sadducees. Then we see him as a faithful servant. Laboring. Amen. Unceasingly. The meal offering, the burnt offering, a sacrifice as the ox. Then we see him in the shrewdness of man, with the wisdom to tie them up. When they come with questions, them doctors and lawyers, he said, let me ask you a question. Is John Baptist a man of God? Answer. Hallelujah. My doctrine comes from above. And then with the eagle. Prophetic. Opening the scriptures. Hallelujah. And then that same word. The Lord Jesus. Amen. After we see four anointings. God in the book of Acts. The early church. Everything they taught. Everything they did. All their works. Were tied back. To what Jesus manifested. Amen. And then down seven church ages. When an announcement made in the heavens. Have to kind of chop it up now. Because I know you're tired. And the time is running out. But just bear with me a little bit. I just try to cut it up here. That you could catch it and study it out. You won't have time to explain all the details. But you are familiar with many of these things. In the message. And when announcement made in the heavens. A seal opened. A mystery unfolded. What was happening? The messenger was catching the mystery of redemption, not fully revealed, because he lived in their intercession. Hallelujah! And the history was now being made. So he was catching it in part, and he sounded it forth. It sealed the elect. The age was finished, and a temporary judgment fell. And that is the way God came until we come down to seven church ages. Now the local minister in the church is catching the mystery of redemption, of adoption, which is the capstone. Not fully revealed as faith. You see, your faith is a revelation of the capstone, of your adoption, of your placing, is your long range vision, what you're walking into. Hallelujah! And a thunder of faith, a revelation, goes forth in the local church. And God begin to drop that seed of faith, revelation, into the bedding ground where there's a place for it to grow. Hallelujah! Then virtue, knowledge, temperance, as the church is walking, transforming power, changing that church. Amen. As they're laboring under the anointing, persecutions, trials, testings, and that church is coming forth, standing, fighting the Nicolaitans. Hallelujah, trying the spirit. Amen. And they're coming through, watching them spirits of Balaam, them doctrine of Nicolaitans, them doctrine of Jezebel, how in the depths of Satan, organizational minded men, the escape ones, coming out. Hallelujah! With patience, waiting upon the Lord, knowing they will mount up with the wings of an eagle, they will run and not be weary, they will walk and not faint. They had need of patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that it might be entire, wanting nothing. They have need of patience, that after they have done the will of God, he that will come, the capstone, will come and shall not tarry. Amen.
Amen.
And here is that church getting a revelation of the adoption, and they are walking into it as Christ is being formed. When Christ is formed on the seventh step, then they enter into that pillar of fire. Amen. Where the word is veiled, where they stand as God to the generation. Hallelujah. Ready for a ministry of the masterpiece with the glory of God. Like Moses, when he came back out of the mountain, the glory was upon him. And Paul says, we have a more excellent glory.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
The word written in our hearts. Back then, the word was engraved in stone behind badger skin. Now the word is written in our heart behind human skin.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
It's a great thing that has been happening. Could you see it? Could you appreciate it? Could you recognize it? I am moving into it. I am coming into the effects of it. I am praying. Make me a prisoner to it. Lord, don't let me miss it.
Amen.
We can become written epistles. Read of all men. Now that what we read about can be made manifest. Let me strike the message. I want to strike the message quickly. Ezekiel 2. Notice Ezekiel 1 with the vision of the pillar of fire, the whirlwind, the cloud, the four cherubim. And they are all there. Now, Brother Branham, on a message, I want to share one of the things here. Now, this is the pillar of fire. We all know that picture. Same pillar of fire, spoke to Moses, came to Paul. Moses wrote the Old Testament. Paul wrote the New Testament. And the pillar of fire come back in the last days to reveal the entire Bible. Now many people had the picture to the world. It's just a phenomenon. But a prophet took the pillar of fire and went back to the scripture to give us a scriptural understanding of why the pillar of fire comes. It comes for a vindication. The messenger comes with the message for preparation. The pillar of fire comes for vindication, and the token was for consolation. That pillar of fire always come for an exodus. Never appeared since the early church, but have come back in the last days. A heavenly sign. God and man being united. Revelation 10:1. The heavenly angel. Revelation 10:7. The earthly angel. God and man being united. Super sign. Emmanuel. God with us.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Then the same pillar of fire. And Morphe. Change form. Come as a cloud. Hallelujah. That cloud. Amen. All the time. The cloud was this way. Hallelujah. Look at Life magazine. Show the seven thunders. Luke 21, 27. When you see the Son of Man come in a cloud, look up. The redemption draw at 9. Revelation 10:1 is coming with a title deed of redemption in the days after intercession, in the day of redemption, when redemption is being revealed. Then the cloud was turned to the right side. What it was? It was the supreme judge with a white wig. Revelation 1:14. And he wears a white wig when he leaves the sanctuary for seven church ages. Jesus was in the sanctuary. No bride in the seven church ages never seen with a white wig. He's the only bride who have seen him in a white wig. Because all seven church ages lived in the days of intercession. Hallelujah! And those four living creatures is right inside of here. The eagle, the lion, the man, the ox is all inside of here in the cloud. What it was, God being revealed, his presence, his headship coming back amongst us. And a prophet, when it happened, the science, they say mysterious circular cloud. Cloud and light in the sky. But a prophet took the scripture and revealed to us that it will not just be a picture on a wall, it will be a memorial of what scriptures are being manifested and what day we are living in and what is really happening in the economy of God. Amen. Then this picture, Ezekiel 1, the one we really want to get to. Because all these things were being manifested to show God keeps his word. God works in divine continuity of his word always. Amen. That pillar of fire, pillar of cloud, the whirlwind. The four living creatures, it was all here in this day. It's nothing to read in the Bible, but with Ezekiel and them. It's put here for this day.
Amen.
That we could really understand.
Amen.
Now, when those things happen, the prophet on Wild in Bethlehem, page 24. He says, oh, he's God. See his presence. His presence. It just lets him be present. And he refers to this picture now. He said the other day, when they're taking this last picture, when I see him standing there, I looked at it and I thought, well, I've seen the angel of the Lord on those, the other pictures, and I know it was wonderful. But when he taken this one, then about 3 o'clock in the morning, he woke me up and told me what it was to be. And he explained it all to me. And how the armor, and everything showed me the things in it that I had never seen. He said, I went in and get it and look at it, and there it was. I had never seen it before. And oh, what a feeling that brought to me. He said, oh, what a feeling that brought to me. A consolation to know that he is present. He is here. Just his presence. And the presence of the Lord was yet to heal the sick. The presence of the Lord is yet to bring conviction to sinners. The presence of the Lord is in the midst of his people. And then on Brother Branham, after God allowed a mechanical eye,
the mechanical eye of the camera to capture the presence of the Lord and the cherubim, just as it is described in Ezekiel 1. Then the prophet received the revelation from God as to what the picture really meant. And then he went to 24 elders. He went to the throne. He went to the scriptures. And he began to open up to us how the heavenly order is still represented on the earth today. And by a revelation, after he called the church out of the denominationalism, he began to preach to get the earthly order, the earthly host, in the divine order, so we can reflect on it, what was in heaven. And then he says, if that can happen in 5 minutes, there will not be a person here who wants the Holy Ghost but that will receive it. There's not a person here who is sick and supposed to be healed that would be healed. Hallelujah! So then the ministers, being anointed with the same vision, had to bring the churches in order, had to bring another Ephesians, had to bring the people into the most holy place, into the third pole, to be a super church where we can write another book of Acts, where we can see the living God in the living tabernacle with living works. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. But what we had is fighting, competition, all kind of slothfulness, denominational hangovers, when we ought to be coming into a perfect bride, in second order, ready for a ministry of the voice of the resurrection. Because when this church comes to perfection, it will bring the resurrection. When the power of this church rises, it will pull its brethren. Hallelujah! So how we ought to be standing in this hour. And but I'm going to give you the quote. I don't have time to read. I'll keep it too long. 24 elders paid 613 and 614. 613.
Page 613
and 614. And the throne. Page 692.
Page 692.
And why little Bethlehem?
Page 24.
Page 24. That is the, why little Bethlehem 1958.
Why little Bethlehem 1958.
Amen. He explains the picture and shows that here he was in a service preaching, and the people, the presence of God was unrecognized presence of God. So the camera caught it. God allowed it to be photographed, that we could see. We don't just come in the house of God, fall asleep, get weary, wish the service could be over. With the presence of God, hallelujah!
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
And the book of Hebrews, chapter
9,
also chapter 8, Exodus
25,
verse 9, it shows how the heavenly order was to be represented on the earth. And then God's throne in man. The prophet says, where is God's throne today? Let's take it and close. Because I read to you last night on the seals, question and answer on the seals, page 11 12. I think it was 467, 468 in the Seven Seals book. He was saying, very soon, mercy seat will become judgment. We are at the third pole. Then where is that seat? That mercy seat. Let's find where it is. And let us see, under the seventh seal, is established on the earth. The heavenly order. All things are ready.
all things are restored back. And under the shout, voice, and trump, the mercy seat is veiled behind human skin. Nobody can be saved in any denomination today. Nobody cannot be saved in a denomination today. Somebody say they get saved in a denomination today, they are deceived. Because their life have left the shock. In the harvest time, all their life is in the grain. The life have gone through the stalk, the tassel, and the shock. And when the life leaves, fallen angels get into it. And when the seven seals opened, denominations came to naught. Because you can't have two systems at the same time. You can't have two husbands at the same time. You have to die to one to come to the other one. There's only one provided place of worship where God meets the believers. He had to call us of the blasphemous names into the place where he placed his name. God only meet man under blood. The message of the hour. Amen. So here we are. And we see those things. It's on the earth. So then if you can't be saved in a denomination, because the mercy seat is not there, you have to find where the mercy seat is. Because you can only be saved, you can only receive mercy at the mercy seat. And that is why nobody can come out of Laodicea outside the prophet. You have to see the prophet standing outside Laodicea. He was sent to a rebellious generation. Son of man. Ezekiel 1, the pillar of fire, pillar of cloud, the amber light, it came forth. Son of man ministry, prophet to a rebellious generation.
Amen.
All the big theologians, big denominations, and God didn't even look at the face. Hallelujah! They don't bother what they look like. Go and preach it. I'll put my words in your mouth. And Malachi 4, a prophet, son of man, to rebellious generation, children of disobedience. Amen. He went and he brought for that message. That mighty angel came down. Revelation 10:1, and the hand in his right hand had a book open. Is that right? And in that book, it was written in the inside and the backside. Hallelujah! And in it was the sevenfold plan of redemption, lamentations, mourning, and woe under the judgment seal. Hallelujah! And we find out that prophet had to go and preach that message, the ministry of the Son of Man. But there was one part of the ministry of the Son of Man left to be fulfilled in the bride. Hallelujah! The bride has the very same ministry of the Son of Man. And she had to come and take the book. What part is that? Revelation 10, 8 to 11, the second fold, the mystery between the Gentile prophet and the Jewish prophet, a bride. Hallelujah! Had to come. And that part was being fulfilled from 1965 to 1985. Hallelujah! Where the bride has to take that book in the same ministry as the Son of Man and eat that book. And Ezekiel says, that same one who came down, who had the book in his hand, a ball of fire, a cloud, an amber light, a rainbow. Hallelujah! Four living creatures. And he had a book in his right hand. Amen. And then here he took that book. Ate that book. Where it was now. All seven messages. All seven seals. It was on the heart of the bride. The bride. In the heart of the bride. She was laying there with that secret. She had taken the book. She had eaten it. The word is made flesh. It was in her heart. All seven spirits, all seven voices, was now ready to prophesy again. Our ministry of testimony. Hallelujah!
Amen.
And everything else says, what happened? It was sweet in the mouth. Them revelations coming forth, was bit in the belly. Where we'll be tested upon our revelation. 200 million devils loose to come against the bride. But then she stood anyhow. He said, all of a sudden, the spirit began to lift him up. The word and flesh being lifted up by the power of the Holy Ghost being lifted up in the power of God. And the voice began to speak. He heard a noise of the wings of the living creatures, because the living creatures was all around him, because the mercy seat was inside of him now. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I hear the noise tonight. I hear the rushing tonight. I hear the wings of the living creatures tonight as it's being lifted up in the power of God, getting ready for a ministry of testimony. Hallelujah. Going forth to preach to the lost in this very hour, to show that God's order is still reflected when Revelation 10 and 11 is going forth. The continuation of the ministry of the Son of Man is going forth to preach to the lost, a ministry of testimony, the voice of the archangel. Hallelujah! Them living creatures is there, God in the word, anointing that bride. Because why? The throne of God is in that bride.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God veiled and guarded mercy seat is veiled and is guarded. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
My.
Amen.
Page 627.
Page 627.
24 elders.
24 elders.
We finish.
Yes.
Amen. Read this and it's over.
Amen.
And you walk out in the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
I've been preaching about 18 services already. We came in here on the
12th.
And today about the 26th.
No, that's not 26.
About 14 days.
About 14.
So you should be tired. And before I came here, I preached 14 services. In El Salvador and Honduras. Then come back home and preach 3 services. And then come here and preach 14 already. About 18 already, rather. By the time I'll be finished, with 22. And then I leave to go back home to pick up service all year's night.
Amen.
So you know, and I'm from thousands upon thousands of miles, all from Trinidad. And you're right here in Zimbabwe.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Come on. You just get anointed with the same spirit that tired us leave you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But I'm speaking here about the cherubim's God in the mercy seat. He says, oh, what a picture. There's great days ahead. Here we are in them great days. 1961, there's great days ahead. He saw what the church would come to, where she would stand, the consciousness of the presence of God, the supernatural, right amongst us.
Amen.
Because many a time, God do things. We receive the blessings. We come under the effect of the inspiration. But we fail to understand what God is doing. And because of that, we are unable to properly relate to it. That is why he's changing our seeing. Not bringing these things down. Changing our seeing. To cause us to break into the unseen. And look to the unseen. Then we'll know what kind of power is here. Then you lift up your head and you look up, because you know your redemption is right now.
Amen.
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 So he says, we see them. Now there was God's throne in heaven. Moses passed into the earth. Was God's throne, because judgment seat was represented here on earth in the Holy of Holies. All Israel come to that one place to find mercy. All Israel come to one place to find mercy. And that mercy seat was guarded, was veiled behind badger skin, and guarded by the lion, Judah, the ox, Ephraim, the man, Reuben, and the eagle, Dan. It was guarded. Hallelujah. There's only one place on the earth today you can find mercy, in the bride, in Revelation 10, 8-11, the real born-again believers. God tabernacle on the earth. Hallelujah. And in every country where that bride is, in every country where that bride is, you have to come to that one place to find mercy, where the mercy seat is veiled behind badger skin and guarded by this four anointing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All Israel, regardless of where they live, come to that one place to find mercy. Glory be to God in the height. Now listen close. Then the Shekinah glory raised from that mercy seat one day, and it settled on another tabernacle. Amen. This one, the Father judges no man. That is scripture right here again. The Father judges no man, but he commits all judgment to the Son, the supreme judge. And this is only a head. It came to be united with a body on the earth. Hallelujah! Glory! One like the Son of Man in the Lord's day, between his priesthood and his kingship. Hallelujah! And the priesthood was Son of God, and the kingship is Son of David, and between Son of God and Son of David, Son of Man, who has to be revealed in three poles. Hallelujah! Glory! God judgment seat. Dare you speak against me, I'll be forgiven you. Speak and another one's coming. Another mercy seat. You can speak against the Son of Man. That's back in the earthly ministry. I will forgive you. But someday, the Holy Spirit will come to dwell in the hearts of the people. One word against it will never be forgiven. It keeps getting more and more severe all the time. The judgment. Because God continually weighing his patience out, trying to get sinners to come to him to be reconciled. First, he was in the heavens above, shining in the stars. Second, he was on earth, shining through the Shekinah glory. Next, he came and was made flesh and dwelt among us, still weighing his patience. Then he redeemed man by his blood, coming to his church in the form of the Holy Ghost, and speak against that. It's a finished thing. Now you can see where the shaking is coming. We are at a time they don't realize.
Amen.
I'm bringing you the scriptures. I'm bringing the message. I'm showing the hour. May we wake up and see it. Amen. People can't comprehend what it means. Now the first throne was in heaven, judgment seat. The second throne was in Christ. And the third throne is in man.
Page 633.
He says, now, where's the throne at now? In the heart. In the heart of who? The members of the seven church ages. Christ. speak a word against it, or action, you are condemned. You will answer for the day of judgment. And who will judge the earth? The saints shall judge the earth. Oh my.
Amen.
On the throne. Page 687. We're closing out this. And page 684. Okay, I'll take one. 687, 704.
Page 704.
He said, now remember, that was the gods of the Old Testament. How many ever read it in the Bible? You know that, that's right. That's the gods of the Old Testament. Now we are living in another age. Glory! Oh, I love this age. Don't you? Now God has a mercy today to be guarded. God has a mercy today to be guarded. You say you believe that? Where's the mercy seat from? In the heart of man. Where did it come into the heart of man? At the Pentecost. When the Holy Ghost, which is God, come into the human heart. Is that right? This is the mercy seat. The Holy Ghost. And think about the dove coming into it. Alright, God in the mercy seat. Now, has God got God to the mercy today? Yes. Now watch. And he went to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How every word they spoke. The God, what is in the book of Acts. Amen. Everything Jesus spoke. Everything the Son of Man spoke. And nobody can come against this message. It's God. Hallelujah. By them four anointing. You know where to break it? Because it is the intelligence of God. Eyes within, eyes in front, eyes behind. Speaking of the intelligence, they know what is, what was, and what is to come. And those seven thunders that uttered voices have revealed what is, what was, and what is to come. The bride has the mind of Christ. She knows what he wants done with the world.
Amen.
I'm going to finish there. Add something else, we'll leave it. Those anointings, they come in every age. But Abraham says, how else could they achieve anything in the age that they live in, except by the power that was released to them?
Amen.
He said, that's the reason there are signs and wonders and miracles. The work by the anointing does release unto them. So here it is. People trying to scream and holler and roll and get emotional, forgot to do miracles and signs. You have to work by the anointing. You have to come into place. You have to get an order where God's order in heaven could be reflected on the earth. Hallelujah. You can't be self-styled. You can't be self-opinionated. You have to come in obedience. You have to recognize God's divine order. You have to recognize it was a prophet who was called into a pillar of fire, who came back out of his own ideas, but he came back out with the word. God was speaking through him. All those things that he spoke that was manifested in this day, he proved to us Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. What it is he again in our midst. That's what the message was. Change our scene. Bring us conscious where we are living in the presence of the supernatural all the time. Where we can be in order, knowing every move in the scriptures, because not our life, not our human spirit, is Zoe, God our life, the word of God being manifested, showing forth Jesus Christ, God's program for this hour. Then we see real Holy Ghost works, real Holy Ghost fillings, real new births, real power, real miracles,
taking place, written epistles, read of all men. May we strive tonight to enter into that place, to the bounds and the chains of the world, because this is the hour. Every local church must be an Ephesians. Not a Corinthian baby, not Hebrews going around in circles, not Galatians trying to live in two dispensations. Amen. Not Thessalonians carry off in some spirit, shaking in the mind by some letter, some tape, some man interpretation. But Ephesians in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, know the position, what they are, established, rooted, grounded in the faith of this hour. Hallelujah. A huge portion of heaven. They cross over the Jordan into the most holy place where the Shekinah glory is there. And they eaten the manna in the golden pot, the old corn in the land. Meat belonging to them that are full age. They know the threefold secret. Hallelujah. That is what God is talking about. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's have a consecration tonight. Let's empty out tonight. Let's pray in our hearts. God, that's the kind of church we want to be. That's the kind of members of your bride we want to be. That's the kind of ministers we want to be. Oh, God, this is what you showed in a prophet, in the Bible. And this is what you're coming for. Help us tonight. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Father, we thank you for the word that has gone forth, for the message of the hour. Oh, God, a divine revelation to bring us into the hill of the Lord. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall ascend into the seventh peak? Who shall ascend unto Mount Zion and come unto Mount Pyramid, Father, for adoption? Oh, God, him with a pure heart and a clean hand. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that the word has gone forth, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, when moving the heart of his people, the scales will follow the eyes. You will make us conscious of the presence of the supernatural. You will cause us by faith to look to the unseen, not to the things that are seen. I pray, oh God, that the pillar of fire would burn its way into the souls of your sons and your daughters. Oh God, you would quicken their minds to the divine revelation. Oh God, that they can see, they can understand, they can know the hour that we are living in, Father. We thank you, Lord. Consecrate us now to thyself, Lord. Make us better deacons, better trustees, better song leaders, better ministers, a better people, Father. Oh God, what the bride ought to be this hour. Heavenly Father, I pray, oh God, that the Spirit, oh God, of the living God will anoint your people now. And from them, it will move out even unto others, the other others in heart. Oh God, them who have been gathered into the only provided place of worship by the seven thunders. Oh God, where they can meet you for a ministry of the third pole, that the ministry of the Son of Man will be manifest in the final ride. Oh God, we call upon you tonight, Father. Remember me, oh God. Remember the church back home, Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray for them. You keep us in the divine order. You keep us under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You keep us in the Spirit, oh God, in the bloody footprints, everyone in the place, the body fitly joined and compacted together, found every joint and plant. Heavenly Father, I pray, oh God, in this hour, we will be, oh God, what you ordained us to be. Help us, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord. Lift us higher. Lift us higher tonight, Lord. Lord, this final ride. We have eaten the book. We have picked the prophet again. Oh God, them living creatures, them anointing, the cherubim, oh God, around the mercy seat, the pillar of fire, over the wing of the cherubim, Lord, dwelling there, Lord, how to veil behind human skin. Oh God, Father, may we live in the presence of it, may we reel in our hearts, may we, oh God, that I get under the effect of it, oh God, may we all be in step with it, Lord, may we manifest it to us without a flaw. Oh Jesus, we praise you, oh God. We thank you, Father. Bless your people, Lord. Touch your people once again. Fill them with the Holy Ghost and power tonight. Let it be a surge of the Holy Ghost. Let the shackles fall of the mind. Let the eyes be anointed. anointed. Let the heart get in the beat of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.